Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. 8 o'clock, 23 day of the ninth month. Everything's supposed to go active today, you know. Didn't feel very active when I woke up, though, this morning. This is Watcher Ruth, you're there and everywhere. You know, I was thinking this morning that, isn't it peculiar? Well, I wasn't just thinking. I shouldn't just say that because I have a process I do every morning. I get up really early and talk to God, I guess you want to call it. I call it the Holy Spirit because he's the one I always talk to. Anyway, you know, do you think that Paul could have met Jesus? I mean, I'm just saying. What do you think? Think he could have? Do you think that it could have been arranged for Paul to meet Jesus? But he didn't. He did not. He never met Jesus. But he was quite a guy, wasn't he, Paul? He wrote quite a bit of the Bible. And, in fact, wrote one of my favorite books, which is the book of Hebrews. And what did it take for this man to be put in a position, brought along his place in life, to really be drawn to God? Because, boy, he did a lot of wrong stuff for a long time. He himself, Paul, admitted and argued with the Lord and said, but Lord, I imprisoned and beat those in every synagogue who believed you. And when I stood next to those who stoned the prophet Stephen, I held their coats as they stoned them. But God said to me, leave Jerusalem, for I am sending you far away to the Gentiles. What a strange thing, don't you think, that this person who was so close to knowing Jesus, just a minute away, really, if you think about it, but he didn't ever meet him in the flesh. He only knew him in the spirit. As I was on the road nearing Damascus, suddenly about noon, a very bright light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I said, who is that speaking to me? And he said, I'm Jesus, the one of Nazareth, the one you keep persecuting. And all of the men that stood around me could see lights, but they didn't quite understand what was being said. And then I said, what should I do, Lord? What would you have me do now that I'm aware of you? And the Lord said, get up and go out. And there you will go to Damascus, and awaiting you will be a man, a godly man. His name is Ananias. And he came to me, and he stood beside me, and he said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And I did. And then he said to me, "The God of our fathers has chosen you, even you, to know his will and to see the Messiah, the righteous one, and to hear him speak." That's a peculiar thing to say, don't you think? Since he was already sitting at the right hand of the Father. You are to take this message, his message, everywhere, telling what you have seen and heard. And now, why delay? Go and be baptized. Be cleansed from all of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord while you still can. One day after my return to Jerusalem, while I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. And I saw a vision of God saying to me, "Hurry and leave Jerusalem, for the people here, they won't believe you when you give them my messages." But Lord, certainly they know that I was standing there and agreeing against you. But now you're sending me away. The commander brought him inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime that he had believed in Jesus. And the crowd had become quite furious as they tied Paul down and lashed him. And as the Roman soldier cried, "Is it Paul that we're whipping? Is it legal?" Paul said, "For you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't been tried." Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? I am by birth. The soldiers, quickly standing ready to lash him, quickly disappeared when he heard Paul was a Roman citizen. And Paul was brought into the Jewish council because they wanted to try to find out what all the trouble was about. And Paul witnessed. "You, brothers, have known me, and I've always lived before God in good conscience." Instantly, Ananias the high priest commanded those close to Paul to slap him. And Paul said to them, "God will slap you, because all you are whitewashed pig pens. You're like a whitewashed wall. You have no spirit in you. What kind of judges are you to break the law yourself by ordering me to be struck? Is that the way to talk to a high priest?" Then Paul thought of something. Part of the council were Sadducees and part were Pharisees, so he shouted to his brother, "I am a Pharisee, as were all my ancestors. And because today I believe in the resurrection of the dead, this has divided us." divided us. And it is foolishness to those who have no resurrection and no angel and even no eternal spirit within them . They're the ones that will have the great clamor when all of the leaders jump up to argue about what Paul said that was right. Because they will want to cling to the old laws. Could not be fulfilled. That night the Lord stood beside Paul and said, "Don't worry, Paul. Just as you have told the people about me here in Jerusalem, so must you go out also and tell all of the people in Rome." And they all gathered together and made a curse to kill Paul. And they bound themselves together by a curse. Why didn't Paul meet Jesus? I wonder. What do you think? Is it wisdom to think these things and the words and the thoughts of God? The Lord God says, "Now the other nations taught you, saying Israel is a land that devours her people. But they will not say this anymore. Your birth rate will rise and your infant mortality rate will drop off sharply," said the Lord. "No longer will those heathen nations sneer at you in that day. No longer will there be a nation of sinners," said the Lord God. "When the people of Israel were living in their own country, they defiled it by their evil deeds. To me, their worship was as foul as a filthy rag. They've polluted the land with murder and with worshiping of idols, so I'm going to pour out my fury on them. And I will exile them into many lands. That's how I will punish them for all the evil that they did when they were alive. But when they were scattered out among the nations, then they were a blight upon my holy name, because the nation said, 'These are the people of God,' and he couldn't not even protect them. But for my good pleasure, because it is my will, and it is because I am who I am, and that I have created the heavens and the earth, and I have hung them on nothing. And it is because of this, and it is because of my reputation, that you trampled my name. And then you took prophets who muddied up the water and then offered it through to my people all throughout the world and did nothing but confuse them? In that day, in that day, if a watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm and doesn't warn the people, he is responsible for their death. And they will die in their sin, but their souls I will account on to you, because all you have done is muddy up the water. You polluted it. You didn't allow my people to have pure, clean water. A good crop, a heavy crop of fruit. One prepared for his return. Because he is coming home soon. And you were to prepare the ground and sow the crop, so his crop would be greatly increased, and his population throughout would be increased, and his wall would be rebuilt, and his land would be refilled with the people. Not only the people, but flocks and herds, greatly multiplied all throughout the lands of Israel again, filled with homes. Other nations will taunt us and devour us. It is said, stop muddying up the water. It is God's reputation, ruined by his own people throughout the world, among whom only that deserve it am I going to do wonderful things. I am going to do it to protect my holy name to my people, those who are untarnished among the nations. I will honor them in my great name, those you wish to defile. And then all the people of the world will know that I am the Lord, and I will be honored in their eyes. Because I've delivered all my people literally out of your hands. I will renew their hearts, and I will change their hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Because it is my intention, and it is good pleasure of mine to clear the water, to take away those who would muddy up the water. Because I will sprinkle in them clean water. It will cleanse them, and it will take away all of their filthiness, and it will be washed away. And that confusion you allowed to happen when you allowed the water to be muddied up, because there was no clarity, and even allow idol worship to come in, unless you repent and truly deliver a huge harvest and increase the fruit trees and increase the fields, God's land will be scoffed at and it will have a famine. And then you will loathe yourself for all the evil you've done. So repent now and do what you have been assigned to do, and let God come in. And he has said, and do you not know, and hasn't it not been said, I will give you a new heart and right desires and a new spirit within you, and I will take away your stony heart of sin and give you hearts of love. and I will put my spirit within you so that you will obey my law and do what I command, as I have done with my fathers long ago. I will cleanse you of your sins, and I will abolish this crop of failures and famine, and then I will give you a huge harvest, and I will no longer be scoffed at among the people in the land. Because once again, my people are walking in. Once again, my people walk in. They belong to him. I am for you. You see? And I am going to come among you, and I'm going to help you as you prepare the ground to sell your crop. And I will help you greatly increase your population. Not only for the people, but for God. Because he wants his herd to be greatly multiplied. Therefore, go forth and prophesy and say to the hills and the mountains and the dales and the valleys of Israel, the Lord God says, I am full of fury because you've suffered shame before the surrounding nations. Therefore, I have sworn with hands held high that those nations are going to have their turn in being covered with shame. But there will be heavy crops of fruit to prepare for my people's return, and they will be coming home soon. So go out and prophesy, O spirit and breath, upon the slain bodies, so that they may live again, so that the four winds that were commanded, that the bodies may begin breathing, that they may live and that they may stand up and that they may become a great army, full of all hope, so that the spirit may be put into them, so they may return home to their own land. And then the Lord will know that you have done just as what you have promised. And he can say, again, a message. This stick that I have carved will come together as one, both tribes, Judah, and all of the tribes of Israel. So tell the people so they can see what the Lord God says. He's going to join them all together, and the gathering of all the people from all the nations will take place. When the day comes, when the son of dust faces and says, I am against you, Gog and Magog. And the servants of David and their Messiah and their prince will reign forever. Because he's made a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting pact. And he has promised that there will be one king over all. And they will no longer be polluted with idols and sins or foulness. Because there will only be one God, and it is I alone, I am. And I shall live there in the land of Israel. And I will take my children and my grandchildren and all of my generations, and I will have a king and a priest before them forever, and I will be the king of priests before them, and I will bless them and multiply them. And it is my good pleasure to put my temple among them forever. And I will be their everlasting home before them, because I will gather them together before any and all, because I am their God and they are my people. and I will be the temple that remains among them. And all will know that I am the Lord, and I have set them apart for great blessings. And them, even them, Magog, Meshach, Tubal, Seir, Dedum, your days are numbered. Because the earth does not revolve around you. No. I will capture the vast booty and the many slaves you have obtained. For you think you are a people rich with cattle now, and you believe that the whole world revolves around you, and you think that all of the merchant princes will worship you. You, the god of gold and silver, I will rise myself up over you with a vast host, and it will cover the land like a distant army, so large you will not be able to see it. It will be a host, a heavenly host, covering the land like a cloud. In victory, in this latter year of history, literally, this expression will not change. It is and will be and always has been the one that the Lord spoke of long ago through the prophets. He warned you too. And all living things shall quake and tear at his presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The cliffs shall tumble. The walls shall crumble. Everything that will be shaken, and nothing will be left that will not be shaken, except that will not be shaken. I will fight you with the sword and disease and torrential floods, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And in that way, and for my good pleasure, and because I have decreed it, and I will not change my mind because I am God, and I will do what I have said, and all the nations will hear and see and know, and I will bring honor to my name because it is my good pleasure, and for this I will do it. And all of the nations of the world will hear what I have done and know that I am God. And I will knock every weapon from your hand, and I'm going to leave you helpless. You'll never reach my cities of my people because my clean rain rains down upon them to make them holy. And in my holy name, I will not let it be mocked anymore. And my people will be purified 7 times 7 years. And they will need nothing else because they will be with me and I am all they need. And they will be satisfied. Thank you for tuning in today. Have a blessed day. Repent while there's still time. Turn to God. Know his holy name among the nation and let it be known.